You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with John Babb and Andy Holding. We've got five meetings to come on Racing Radio on Monday. Aaron Brighton in the afternoon, Pontefract and Windsor in the evening, and racing over the Irish Sea on Monday night as well from Roscommon. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Ollie Pimlott. How are you, all?
Good afternoon, John Boy.
Are you well, sir?
Not too bad, yeah. Not too bad at all.
Good. Good man. Bit of a quiet weekend, really. So we'd normally on this podcast look back at the weekend action. But instead, we're going to have a little glance towards Royal Ascot, because it's only just over a week until we'll be underway in the Royal meeting. And a bit of news today as well, as we record this, that French Ace Cloth of Stars will bid to take the Prince of Wales Wales Stakes prize back over the channel for Andre Farb. Runs in the Godolphin Blue, has been dominating the scene over in France, and takes on another Godolphin main hope, really, I suppose, or one of the main hopes for Royal Ascot, in the shape of Jack Hobbs. You've got Ulysses in there as well, and Highland Reel for Aidan O'Brien, Somi Dar as well in the lineup. All those in single figure prices. It's been a tumultuous week for Godolphin, really, until Saturday when they banged in the first four winners at Newmarket, and two superstars turned up at Royal Ascot for them as well. So
yeah, and ironically, probably the most eye-catching one was the maiden winner Glorious Journey, who John Ferguson actually bought last year for a considerable amount of money, 2.6 million guineas. The colt by Dubawi changed hands for last year, obviously bought by their former chief exec John Ferguson. So yeah, he looked quite an exciting horse, but it's the same old, same old. They can do it on a minor Saturday afternoon. When will we see Glorious Journey next? Because usually they go and win the maiden and then they seem to disappear, or their form completely goes missing. So it'll be interesting to see where we see it going forward, but obviously paid a lot of money for it. Beautiful pedigree, and it was backed as if defeat was out of the question yesterday, and duly obliged in the first race there.
Yeah. You mentioned they could do it on a low-key Saturday, but I haven't really done it on the big Saturdays. Or the big days, if you like. What about this Prince of Wales Stakes then? Cloth of Stars and Jack Hobbs give them a real strong hand there.
Yeah, and yet again, for two different not retained Godolphin trainers, Andre Farb and of course John Gosden with Jack Hobbs. So, you know, it's probably where they'd like to rectify things. They want the good horses with both Charlie Appleby and Saeed Bin Sarur. That's perhaps why Charlie Appleby's got all these 2 year olds this year. Cloth of Stars, obviously, three runs this year, three wins. Is just the four-year-old son of Star, See the Stars, and they tend to improve with age, and that's sort of how it's played out this year, and beaten in three starts this year. But I don't think he's going to have taken on the likes of Jack Hobbs this season, and if he is the Jack Hobbs that we all know and love, the one that turned up in Dubai, he's going to be very hard to beat, isn't he?
Yeah.
But you can't really, you can't chuck your hat on him, can you, Jack Hobbs? You know, we all remember when he turned up to Newmarket on Guineas Day last year and it, as a warm favourite, and it all went wrong. Obviously, came out that he was injured, but he's not a horse you can always rely on. Obviously, they're just targeting races. I mean, he's not had a prep for this quite a while since he ran in Dubai World Cup night, so he's not had a prep for it, but I think they're just trying to go softly with him and just target the big races. So if he turns up in the form that he did at Maidan, he's going to be very hard to beat, but that just remains to be seen.
Interesting race, the Prince of Wales Stakes. Also a bit of news with regards to the Coronation Stakes, where we're going to see another French challenger there. By the sounds of it, the French 1,000 guineas winner is Precious, also going to end up at Royal Ascot. By the sounds of things, going to be supplemented, not in the market at the moment, probably will wait until she is supplemented, but it's a race that I suppose Aidan O'Brien will be looking to win anyway. He's got Winter at 8-11 at the top of the market if she goes there. Rhododendron then at 7-1. He's got a. Do you think they both turn up there, by the way?
I'm not sure. Obviously, we're not no run, no bet at the minute, but Rhododendron would be the one, because just didn't stay for me last time in the Oaks. in, you know, pretty soft conditions, and Abel obviously went from the front, and all they saw was the tail. But Roded Engine, I didn't think stayed last time. I think dropping back in trip, she'd be the value, but we don't know if she's going to turn up there. Obviously, Winter was a warm winner of the 1,000 guineas, was quietly backed on the day. Roded Engine obviously followed her home in second, but things didn't go Roded Engine's way on that occasion, and I think in the Oaks she just didn't quite stay. So if she turned up, I think she's definitely the value.
Mm. I'd agree with that as well, and I think if I was Aidan O'Brien, I wouldn't send Winter there. I wouldn't have them take each other on. I'd send Roded Engine, because then she can get her big Group 1 prize in the book.
Well, you just give Aidan a ring and give him a bit of advice.
Yeah, he's always on the phone. I might as well be me.
I wonder who he rings after. It's usually his mummy he rings after the big races, but it's actually you, Mark.
It's me, yeah. I'm one of the lads.
Yeah.
With regards to Royal Ascot, anything else in your mind? With just over a week to go, do you have anything that you're really looking forward to seeing?
I think Royal Ascot is going a bit like Cheltenham now, which disappoints me. In that, look at yesterday. We had two low-grade group threes, admittedly on soft ground, which they can't do anything about.
Yeah.
But you look at the two winners of that, Bartal, who have won the Pinnacle Stakes, and Absolutely So, who won the John O'Gaunt. They probably won't win again this year. And their two group threes have won. I just think everything is aimed... We know Royal Ascot's, you know, it's the biggest flat festival of the season, but is everything just too aimed towards that very much the same way as Cheltenham is? Because between then and now, between sort of the Guineas meeting and Royal Ascot, how many good races have we had?
The Derby.
Well, yeah, the Derby. That's Derby and the Oaks, two races.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I suppose.
Coronation Cup, etc. But it's all on one weekend. What have we had this week? What are we going to have next week? Not a great deal until Royal Ascot starts.
Yeah.
I think that it's just all diluted into these big days.
Well,
it's a bad job when we come here on a Sunday morning and we've not got a great deal to talk about the Saturday.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's all worth it when you get to Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I mean the Tuesday.
You can't have like superb racing all the time, can you?
But, you know, you've got, was it four or five group ones the first day, the Tuesday in a row? I mean, you doesn't get any better than that, but it just dilutes this racing on the Saturday prior to it.
Yeah. It's just the calm before the storm. It is, yeah. We'll leave that there anyway. Let's move on to Monday's action. We're going to look at four races, which Ollie has prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
And then moving on to Monday's action, we're going to look at one race from Ayr, and then a couple at Windsor and one at Pontefract as well. Decent flat meetings coming up on Monday. Ayr is where we start, the 3:30, the first race that we preview on this podcast, a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile and one furlong. And we've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. And none arrive here in better form than Gwarnall, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
Yeah, in tremendous form. He loves Ayr as well. He's now a four-time course winner. He's won here over 10 furlongs the last twice. 1 mile, 1 furlong, 20 yards. So steps up very slightly in trip for this one. He has gone up another £4, but he's won off a higher mark than this back in 2015. So he's still potentially quite well handicapped. And there's no horse that comes into the race in better form. Clearly loves the track. You wouldn't have said the slight drop back in trip should be any problem. And even going up £4, he is still well handicapped on old form. But he's going to take a good deal out of the market. I'm just going to plump for the top weight here, Dark Devil. He ended last season with a win at Goodwood, and then I thought he ran really well at Kempton on the all-weather. That was a little bit less than 2 weeks ago, 12 days ago. I think that should put him spot on. He very much shaped like he needed the run on that occasion. A number of Richard Fye's older horses are tending to improve from first to second start this season. And for a mark of 86, I think it's workable, sneaks in off top weight. I think he just might just be a little bit too classy for these. He's had that pipe opener now. Fye's tend to be improving from first to second on his older horses, certainly this year. And I think Dark Devil could be the one at a decent each-way price.
Dark Devil in the selection for all. He had, 32 runners out on Saturday or something?
Yeah, 32 runners. He only had the three winners, though.
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot of, even ourselves were looking at four-plus, weren't we? But I think when the third one went in, he still had 16 to go.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a winner, but he had a huge amount of places.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He had a 1-2 in one of the races as well, didn't he? So, ticking along fine. Dark Devil, a selection for Ollie in the 3:30 at Ayr. Then let's move to Windsor next for their 7 o'clock. And this is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 8 set to go to post for this one. Who do you side with in there, Al?
I like the look of the Millman horse here. Biotic at the foot of the weights. Runs off a mark of 74. He was third at Windsor after a 7-month absence over course and distance. back in May, and that form has been given a significant boost by the second. The second was, of course, a horse of Richard Hughes's called Get Back in Paris, who was a winner at Goodwood earlier in the month, a couple of days ago, in fact, on the 9th of June, and he won off a mark of 89 on that occasion. Biotic gets in here off a mark of 74, and he's not been put, they've left him on the same mark for his last run. That form has been significantly franked, and he was only beaten a three quarters of a length and a neck when he finished third at Windsor. We've not seen the winner come out since. It was also Martin Meads, but the second has significantly franked the form at Goodwood since. Is a course and distance winner in the past. The Millmans have made a bright start to the season and should improve for that absence of 7 months. So Biotic, the course and distance winner, right at the foot of the weights for me in the 7 o'clock at Windsor.
Biotic then, the selection there in the 7 o'clock at Windsor. We move on to Pontefract next, the 7:40. The Mr. Wolf Sprint Handicap, good old Mr. Wolf. Six furlongs is the trip for this one, eight of them in the lineup here, and some real informed horses as well. Black yeah. Isle Boy arrives here on the back of a hat-trick. El Hombre chasing the hat-trick. And several others with claims as well, so quite a good race.
I would say I had the pleasure of riding Mr. Wolf, but yeah. he wasn't a pleasurable ride, Mark. As you can imagine, he was very keen, Mr. Wolf, when he was with John Quinn on a few occasions, and he was a very, very keen horse, but a legend at Pontefract. He used to go there, you know, every time there was a meeting, he'd go there, Mr. Wolf, and clocked up a significant number of wins. This is a good race, this. Sprint handicap for three-year-olds only, and I think the former trainer of Mr. Wolf can actually win this, the aforementioned John Quinn, with the Nazca Lines. This is another horse who sneaks in at the bottom of the weights, has been gelded since last season, and certainly suggested that he retains all his ability at Catrick last time. No headgear, which would be the slight worry, but they have gelded him. He was run off his feet last time at Catrick, so six furlongs here at Pontefract at a stiffer track should suit. And I still argue, now that he's been gelded, a very encouraging run at Catrick last time, he should improve on that. Off a mark of 75, I think he's very workable, and he should be a decent each-way price. We need to mention the possible favourite. That'll be the top weight, Black Isle Boy, who's another who's in significantly good form. He's been in brilliant form this season, already completed the hat-trick up at Ayr last month, but he now runs off a career high mark of 87. He is a very much improving three-year-old, unbeaten this season, three from three. But you just feel off a mark of 87, the handicapper might well have got him in his grip. But he's going to take a lot of beating in form. Sprinters are very hard to take on. But I think the Nazca Lines could be a bit of an each-way option around about 8 or 9 to 1.
And as you mentioned, would be a fitting winner there, trained by John Quinn. Let's move on to the final race that we preview then, the 8 o'clock at Windsor. This is part of the Windsor Sprint Series. It's a handicap, a qualifier for that event, over five furlongs. We've got a field of eight set to go to post for this one, and I was quite interested in Mab's Cross personally. Gets in off the bottom of the handicap there, got off the mark at the third time of asking in maidens, and it was an easy success as well.
Yeah, as was I here. Looks in really good form, Mab's Cross. Has improved from first to second to third start, having won cosily, I would suggest, at Newcastle 3 weeks ago. And the yard are in tremendous form, that of Michael Dodds. In the last 2 weeks, the last 14 days on the turf, 29 runners, 5 wins and 7 places, showing a £9.50 profit to a £11 stake and over 17% strike rate. So in a yard in good form. And off a mark of 74, looks very, very workable, doesn't it? Far and away the least exposed of the runners in the field. Just had the 3 starts. All of them have been this season. Marked improvement from each and every run. And I think off a mark of 74, the handicapper might well have left it in off you know, a workable mark. And the fact they're taking it all the way to Windsor, I'm sure there have been races up north, you know, Ayr, Catrick, Hamilton, etc., which Michael Dodds could have gone to, a bit closer to home. He's chosen to go to Windsor, which I think is significant. And off a mark of 74 for an informed stable is the selection in the 8 o'clock Mab's Cross.
Mab's Cross and the Pick Frawley there in the 8 o'clock at Windsor. And just a note, Windsor is one of the two clear meetings on Monday. It's Windsor in the evening and Ayr throughout the afternoon, so plenty of chances to scoop that 15% bonus if you find a winner by two or more lengths in a race that qualifies with six or more runners. Good stuff all. Quick summary before you go. Let's just relay those selections then and tidy it up for us.
Yeah, so the 7:40 at Pontefract, Mr. Wolf Stakes. I'm going to go each way on the Nazca Lines. That is the bottom weight. The 7 o'clock at Windsor, I am with Biotic. In the 3:30 at Ayr, my selection is Dark Devil. And in the final race, we looked at the 8 o'clock at Windsor. I go with Mabs Cross.
Superb. Thank you very much, all. Good luck and enjoy Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Monday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. It'll be myself in the studio with John Babb and Andy Holding, Aaron Brighton in the afternoon, Pontefract and Windsor in the evening on the domestic front, and Irish racing as well from Roscommon, a mixed car to look forward to there on Monday night. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.